T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Jason, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining me.
What's up, Adam? How are you?
I'm stunned today, frankly. I wasn't expecting this, and fans are angry at me, a lot of them, because I don't like this. I don't think it's a good move by the Cavs. Maybe you could talk me off the ledge as to why you think this might be a good move by the Cavs.
Well, first of all, my disclaimer, I was 100% wrong. I have to own that and say that freely, that, you know, we were on your show, and I said there was zero chance he was staying beyond next season. For 4 years, it was my understanding that Kevin was gone when LeBron was gone.
Right.
And clearly today proves that wasn't true. Now, was it a good move or not? I understand why you would feel that way, and I would probably be in agreement with you up until Vegas. When I was in Vegas, well, you know what? Even before that, we should probably back up.
Okay.
The 30,000-foot view on this is there's no easy answer, and there's no clear path of what to do. And that's why I think you have valid points if you're saying you don't like it. And I think people who like it, I understand why. Because it's just not an easy, because of his age, because of the injury history, because of so much else going on, there's not an easy clear-cut path of yes or no. But when I was in Vegas, I talked to probably 5 or 6 different teams. And like the whole point of me being in Vegas was like, okay, what are the Cavs doing? What should they do with Kevin? And every team I talked to, most of which were East teams, thought the Cavs could not make the playoffs as they're currently constructed, even with Kevin. But that the kicker on this is that Kevin's trade value probably isn't what you and I think it is. Because I like him as a player. I think he's very valuable to what they do. I think they could get a lot for him. But a lot of teams felt like it's probably the market probably isn't what you think it is. So if the best you can get for Kevin is a low first-round pick, are you better off keeping him? And I think the answer is yes. I think you're better off keeping him because I don't think the return would be what you thought it would be. And, you know, I was talking to one team that said, you know, right now you're probably going to get 50 cents on the dollar for him. But if you hold him to the trade deadline, teams with injury strike and whatever else, maybe you get more from the trade deadline. But I just feel like, I was told over the summer, and I said on your show, and I absolutely believe that the Cavs did look at moving him and see what kind of value he had. And just from talking to a lot of teams in Vegas that I talked to, I just think that maybe the return on the return of the trade wasn't what they thought it was. And the other side of that, I don't know that he gets this money in free agency. I don't know that he signs this big of a deal in free agency. So I think he takes the money here, and I think the Cavs are happy that they don't have to go through what they went through the first time LeBron left. They weren't going to get what they wanted for him in trade. If they get the Celtics type of trade with all those unprotected picks, they move him. But that deal wasn't out there to be made.
Jason, what would have been the downside? Let's say they didn't. Like, I thought they should have traded him, but okay, fine. Forget what I want. What would have been the downside to letting it play out for a year, see what this team is with him, and then if he stays healthy and he's really great as the lead guy, maybe extending him next year?
Well, the only thing I can say to that is I think that they're trying to show to him how much they appreciate him and value him and how much they want him, that they're willing to make this commitment to him right now. And they're willing to probably pay a little bit more than other teams are. And so he's going to take the money. He's going to take the security of having that right now. And they're going to make, and the Cavs are going to make a public display of faith here that this is the guy. And Kobe Altman has never wavered. You know, Kobe, we talked privately in Vegas, and I kept saying, I don't understand this. And Kobe never wavered. He said, I don't want to trade him. We're not a better team without him. I want him on this team. And I think this was the way to just show publicly and to show Kevin how much they want and respect him and like him and want him here to go ahead and lock this up long term. And the other aspect of this, the other side of this, you know, Kevin joked and said, hopefully we can put the trade rumors to rest now, and that's probably true. But at the same time, a guy with 4 years on his deal is more valuable in the trade than a guy with 1 year left on his deal. And I think that also is probably suppressing his trade value with the fact that he was going into the last year of his deal. So, you know, again, we taped that show with you guys the day before I left for Vegas, and I was of the opinion at that time they got to trade Kevin because they're going to lose him at the end of the year for nothing. But the fact that they were able to sign him long-term and keep him, I understand it.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. So, you know, Jason, you said, correct me if I'm wrong, you said that most of the people you spoke to in the East think the Cavs will not be a playoff team even with Kevin Love. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's the opinion, and I'm writing something on that today, and that's the opinion. And you know, I never wrote anything. I was kind of sitting on it. I was kind of waiting to see how's this going to go, how's this going to play. And the feeling I got from a lot of teams was that they're going to have a hard time fighting for that eighth spot. You know, I think we could probably easily pick out six teams in the East better than them. So now you're down to two. With injuries, not, you know, let's wait and see how injuries play out. You got to play the whole season. But as we sit here today, they're going to be in a battle for that seventh or eighth spot. And, you know, the point I was making on your show and I maintain is you got to hang on to that pick. You know, if you miss the playoffs and you lose that pick, that's crushing. And but there is no guarantee, obviously, that you're going to hit on the pick and that the guy's going to be a star. But to lose the pick for nothing, my whole point earlier was if you're going to miss the playoffs, but if you're going to lose the pick and lose Kevin at the end of the year, that's a disaster.
Yes.
And they were able to avert that. Now, you know, ideally, you know, I think ideally they were able to keep the pick, keep Kevin and the pick. You still finish in the top 10 and keep that pick. Because the teams that I talked to just felt like they're going to struggle to make the playoffs in the East.
Yeah. I just wonder if the risk of losing the pick and let's say you get a couple of picks and you get the right guys and in 3 years you're looking to add a free agent, but now you can't because you got a 33-year-old Kevin Love, and what does he look like at that point?
This could be a contract that hurts them at the end of the deal. There's no question about that. Given his age, given his injury history, this is a deal that 3 or 4 years from now, we could be viewing it the way that, you know, we're viewing the J.R. Smith and Tristan deals now. But given the moment, you know, I think it's important to point out, I was there in 2010 after LeBron left. There's not many people left around this team who were there every day.
Right.
But I think those who are left, including Dan Gilbert, probably still have PTSD from that 26-game losing streak.
Yeah.
It was, I've said it before, it was like burying the same body every single day, just digging up the corpse and burying it again every day. It was awful. And the Cavs, for quite a while now, have made it clear that their whole goal is to avoid going through that again. I did not like the Kyrie deal. I didn't agree with it. I thought they took the wrong approach on that. But that's in the past, and where we are today and where they stand today, certainly this team is in a better condition now than they were when LeBron left the first time, and I think that was Dan's entire goal was to not go through a 26-game losing streak and to get as bad as it got the first time.
I know they're, you know, trying to sign Larry Nance Jr. here. What's going on with him? What's going on with Rodney Hood as well?
Yeah, I think they'll get something done with Larry. From all accounts, it sounds like, you know, that's part of the reason they dealt for the guy and they gave up a first-round pick for him. You have to keep him at this point. And Rodney, you know, I was thoroughly unimpressed with Rodney. I don't think there's a lot of great interest in him. I don't know if it's because of how poor he was in the playoffs or it's because he's restricted. Either way, I would expect him to be back probably on some sort of deal. And, you know, clean slate. See what he can do without the pressure of the playoffs. See what he can do without LeBron breathing down on him. I was certainly underwhelmed with him last season, but, you know, let's give the guy a fresh start, I guess, this year.
Listen, as much as I've been complaining about it, in the end, the Cavs will be more fun to watch and to cover next year. I think they've definitely got a shot to make the playoffs because outside of those top six teams, Jason, like, you know, you got Miami. I think the Knicks will probably be better. But, like, you know, is Detroit any good? Or, I don't know that Detroit or the Knicks or the Hornets or the Nets are any better than the Cavs are.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, what we're going to find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the risk of trying to build through the draft, and again, I was with you up through Vegas.
Yeah.
The risk of trying to build through the draft, you know, we were talking about this. Joe, Dave, and I were talking about this. Look what Oklahoma City did, where they drafted three MVPs and could win a championship.
Right.
It's hard. It's risky. You got to get a lot of things that break your way, and you have to supplement it with free agents. And quite honestly, you know, the Cavs probably were not going to get a marquee free agent to come sign here. Kevin was their best shot at getting a marquee player or getting a star level player coming here. They just don't come. Free agents don't sign in Cleveland. And they don't like winners and whatever else. There's just a long history, and a lot of GMs who sat in that seat will tell you how hard it was for them to get guys of any talent level to come here. So I it's not perfect. It's not perfect on any side.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he was 3 or 4 years younger, I think you'd feel differently about the deal. If it wasn't
the
injury history, you'd feel differently about the deal.
Yes.
But there is no perfect solution to this. So I think the Cavs are trying to make the best of what is. And they weren't going to find anyone else to take that money. And you've got a five-time All-Star here who will. And it's a whole lot better than Samardo Samuels and Christian Ayanga and Luke Herangode and the team that that they rolled out the year after LeBron left the first time.
I guess the perfect scenario, I know the fan, I bet a lot of fans would like to see the Cavs make the playoffs. I think the perfect scenario, though, Jason, is they finish in the bottom 10 this year, get a Colin Sexton starts developing, get a top 10 pick, that guy becomes good, and that with Sexton and Hood and Love and the top 10 pick next year and Nance and Clark, you know, Clarkson maybe, that in 2 years they could be a 5 or 6 seed and maybe start making their way back up.
I would agree that that's probably a best-case scenario. Yeah. I would really like to see them hold on to that pick this year.
Yeah.
I think you're cutting off your nose to spite your face if you're trying to fight in and get in as the 8 seed, only to get blown out in the first round, and then you lose the pick. You know, you get some, start getting some salary cap flexibility and some relief after the season. I just, if I'm a Cavs fan, I still root for a top 10 pick this year.
Yep.
And you got to hit on him. You know, all, so far so good on Colin. He had a very good summer league. A lot of good reviews on him, but a long way to go. You know, let's see how he is when the real players show up. But, you know, you hope if he can develop into something good, like you're saying, then you can pair him with another piece, and now you got something. You know, I said all along, and I maintain, Cavs basketball will never be what it's just been. These last 4 years are the renaissance, and I don't see how you ever get back to that level. But, you know, frankly, there's very few teams that can get to that level. And I just think at this point the Cavs are trying to avoid – losing 26 in a row and 36 to 37, because that was one of the most miserable professional experiences I've ever dealt with. And just the morale, how low the morale was within the organization. It was tough to be around that team every day.
Jason, before we let you go, let's get a little update on the Athletic. I know that, I love some of the national hires that have been made in the last year with Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal with great baseball coverage. I check my Athletic app every morning. What's going on for you and the Athletic right now?
A lot of good things. We're transitioning. I'm transitioning really this week. I'll be showing up more with Browns coverage. I'm kind of transitioning off of Cavs full-time into a more multi-purpose role where I'll be doing Indians, Browns, Cavs, Ohio State, kind of jumping in everywhere. And we got some pretty cool ideas I'm working on, hopefully involving the Browns and the Cavs moving forward. And hopefully we'll have a new addition for the Cavs before the season starts. We'll have another hire and someone else in place for the daily, and we're still growing. I mean, it's great. It's I tell everyone it's the best job I've ever had, and we're not going away. We're going to be around for a while.
Sounds good. I love reading it. I'll see you in Berea later this week, Jason.
All right, man. Sounds good. Right, thanks. So,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.